Live. Welcome this morning. On your handouts, I'm going to give you a couple freebies that are not on your handouts, okay? I want to start with this because I think this is a topic of discipline that can be so frustrating and is in your face every day, especially at this age, that I just want to remind you that while these days seem very long, someone very wise said the years are short. And so I think that's a perspective you have to constantly go back to when you're dealing with discipline at this age, that these days of disciplining seem very, very long, but they won't last forever, especially if you really put the focus where it needs to be when your kids are young. And it's a long-term process. It's not something that's going to happen overnight, and I think we live in an instant world, and we just want instant results, and we want to think like, okay, I dealt with that yesterday. I shouldn't have to deal with it today, and that's just not the reality in parenting with our kids. It is a long-term process, and it's a slow process, and it's a different process for each child. So don't have this idea in mind that I'm going to give you a formula today, and if you do A, B, and C, then D is going to happen, because that's just not the reality. If it was, we wouldn't need a whole wealth of scriptures that give so many different people and their examples of life and how their hearts came to the Lord and what the Lord did in their lives. It's just, it's not a cookie cutter approach how the Lord works in our lives. You need to give 100% to this, okay? The Lord has given you this great opportunity to be a parent. And so it's going to take 100% of you right now. A lot of times it's going to feel like it's 100% anyway. But the other side of that is the results are really not at all in your hands. The results are going to be 100% God's work in your child's life. So I think that's another very important thing to remember, that you are not going to produce an obedient heart in your child. That is something that God is going to do over time. And so it is something we have to just rely on the Lord to do the work that we are part of. It doesn't take away our part of it in parenting, but it is a work He is going to do. And so our time spent in prayer and our faith wrestling with the Lord is going to be such a huge part of disciplining our kids. So I want to start by kind of looking at a big picture view of our parenting and then looking at just these years, the preschool years, because they are unique years. I've done a little chart here that I kind of adapted from Jim Berg in a book that he wrote called Changed Into His Image, which is really all about discipleship and how we grow in Christ once we come to know Him. But he talks in that book about how it kind of mirrors discipleship and our walk with the Lord mirrors parenting. And I think this is a good way to get a big picture of what our parenting should look like. If you look at that chart, it's called the parental discipleship emphasis. And if you think about that word discipleship, that's what you should be thinking about with your kids. You want to disciple them to be a follower of Christ. And while it is ultimately going to be a decision they make in their own heart to follow Christ, a calling that the Lord is going to put in their heart, you are part of discipling them towards that. And so as you think about having goals in parenting, which if we don't have any goals, we're going to We will have goals. I mean, you're always having goals. You just may not think about it. So it's important that we think about what our goals are going to be. As you think about your goal in parenting, your goal for your child is really the same thing that your goal is in your life as a Christian. And that's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. As we look in Genesis and in Deuteronomy, we see that picture of how God created us. He created us for Him, for His purposes. And then we see in Deuteronomy that His whole call on our life is to love Him, to serve Him, to honor Him, to live for Him, to glorify Him, to enjoy Him. And so that's what we want to disciple in the hearts of our kids. But there's a problem. Our kids are not just going to say, sure, let's go that direction. In fact, they don't very often say sure at those early ages, do they? They say the opposite. They say, no, Mommy. Or they defiantly stamp their foot and stare at you like, I'm not going to do what you just asked me to do. So if you look at the very bottom of that chart, I've divided it into three segments, the preschool years. Those preschool years, you have got a little rebel on your hands. And we see it very early sometimes, even in you know, young babies that, you know, before they're even talking, that they have a will of their own. And so they have that rebel heart in them. And if we look back at the beginning of Scripture and we see in Genesis that, you know, God created us for himself, for a purpose to glorify him. And yet, what happened? Instantly, there was rebellion, okay? Adam and Eve rebelled. And so God had to take that rebellion and work that rebellion out of their hearts and provide a solution. And we know that that solution for our rebellion and for our children's rebellion is Christ. That's the solution. It's not a parenting technique. It's not something that you're going to do. It's Christ is going to be the solution to the rebellion. But your child may not come to know Christ at a very young age. They may not, when they're 2 years old, come to know Christ. Most likely they will not at 2 years old. Not that a child can't come to know Christ. They can. But as you're discipling them towards that decision, you still have a job as a parent to help break that rebel spirit. Because as they begin to understand what it means to live the way they were created to live in obedience to God, that's going to be mirrored in living in obedience to you. And so when you teach them to obey you, you're teaching them to obey God. And so if you look at that, the very first arrow above those three divisions of years says developmental maturity. Okay, if you've got more than one kid, you know that like kids change rapidly. They mature. And it's not this, it is this straight line that matures this direction. But sometimes we see this like kind of, you know, like you think like, oh, he's really starting to get like putting his toys away. And then it's like, did he totally forget what he had learned, you know? So while I've got a straight arrow there, I don't think it's ever the smooth arrow straightforward. But our kids do mature. There's some natural maturing that's going to happen. There's physical things that mature. There's, you know, mental and emotional things that mature. If you look right above that, learning self-denial through submission to authority, that is that goal that is going to impact how they live in this world. I just saw a news segment. I turned on the news this morning. I have not watched the news in ages because I just couldn't watch all the political stuff. But I turned it on this morning and saw a little short segment, and it was someone protesting. And the statement they made was just chilling to me. They said, you know, I'm protesting against this, and I'll tell you, there's going to be lives given up for this on both sides just to make our point. And I thought, wow, what a dramatic statement. Like, in order to get what I want to get, someone may have to die, was what this girl was saying. You know what? Sometimes we see that in our kids. They are willing to do whatever to get what they want to get. You know, they will go after their sibling with claws and teeth and whatever to get what they want to get. That's what we're dealing with sometimes. I mean, it gets ugly sometimes. And so we want to teach them that self-denial, and it comes through learning submission to authority. Okay, that girl protesting this morning had this attitude of, I am not going to submit to the authority in our country now. I am not going to submit, and I am going to do everything I can to fight against that. And so we want to raise children that will submit to authority, and they do that as they begin to learn denying themselves. Because in order for me to say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to obey you, I'm having to give up what I want sometimes, because what I want sometimes is not good for me. It's not honoring to the Lord. And so that's what we're teaching our kids, that they're going to learn through self-denial to submit to authority, ultimately to the Lord's authority and to our authority. Then as they age and they get into the school age years, you're starting to see, hopefully, that submission happen. They're starting to submit on a more regular basis. That authority structure increases. They have more people they're submitting to their authority. And so they're going to learn. It's this character development that's going to begin to grow more and more as they get a little bit older. And they're going to learn what that looks like in the world as I submit to authority, as I deny myself, how that looks in our house as I, once again, give up what I want so that my brother can do what he wants. Or once again, as I submit to mom because she's asked me to go do this little job for her and I'm going to go do that. They're learning the application of that, and that builds character in them. And then as they mature even more and reach those teen years, ideally what you want to see is that they have taken on in their own heart that desire to submit to God's authority and to serve him. And so it's going to play out and then beginning to serve more, to serve you, to serve others, to serve in the world, okay? And you can see then how as an adult, that's that springboard then to go out into the world and to serve the Lord in everything we do, whether it's a job, whether it's parenting, whether it's in the church, what in our neighborhoods, with family, whatever it is, serving God and others. So I give you that just because I want you again to keep that long-term view, but you guys are way back here at the very beginning of this, okay? And so it's not going to happen overnight. So don't expect to have this kid who's just always going to say, okay, Mom, I'll go pick up all my toys and make them nice and neat, and after that, I'll come and see what else you want me to do, okay? But that's where you're headed, and so you want to take very seriously what you're doing right now. So let's back up and talk about where you're at right now. Right now, you're dealing with a rebellious heart. You're dealing with learning how to discipline that rebellious heart. Scripture tells us that folly is bound up in the heart of a child, and so I think that is comforting to know it's not just my kid, it's not just this mistake of mine, that this is just part of our sin nature, and we're seeing it play out very strongly in our young children. And so we want to come up with biblical methods that are going to address their heart. We aren't looking to develop a robot that's just going to do what we tell them to do. We're not looking for someone who does it out of fear. I've got to do this because if I don't, this is going to happen. We want to develop a heart that says, I'm beginning to understand that I was created for a purpose, and my created purpose is to obey God, to serve Him, to glorify Him. And so we're going to use biblical methods to start addressing that heart of our child. Now, if we don't address the heart, we're just kind of putting a Band-Aid on the problems that we have. You've got a book sitting in front of you, and I want to refer to this right now because this is a great book that I think keeps the focus on the heart and not just on the behavior of what we're wanting to change. I'm going to skip the whole first part, but when you get home, don't skip this part. In fact, like, put it out and open it up so that sometime tonight or tomorrow that you will read this first part as it explains why she charted things the way she did in this little booklet, okay? This is a great resource. This should be dog-eared by the end of the month because you can just constantly refer to it. But turn over to the next page, and let's just pick complaining. Anybody have a complainer in their house? Okay, if they have words yet, they probably have learned to complain already, right? Okay, so complaining. Now, I could just tell my kid when they're complaining, I don't like toast, I don't like cereal, I'm not hungry, I don't want to eat. We could just tell our kid, well, you're doing it because I said you're doing it, or you're eating it because that's what I fixed, okay? And you might get a result out of them, but you're not addressing the heart. And so if we look here in her first column, her first column is titled Heart Probing. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves these questions. Sometimes as your kids are a little bit older, preschoolers, you can ask them this question. But the question she's listed here, is your attitude showing thankfulness and contentment? Okay, the heart problem of complaining is that I'm not being grateful, I'm not being thankful, I'm not being content with what God has given me. That's the heart issue, okay? It's not just that I hate hearing complaining and whining, okay, and I just want it to stop. The heart issue is I'm not reflecting the good God that has given me food to eat this morning. I'm not glorifying Him and how I'm accepting that gift from Him. And so even if your child's not old enough to ask that question and get an intelligible response back, that's a really good question for yourself. What is the problem here? The problem is my child's not being grateful. They're not being thankful. And so that's how you want to teach them during this time. Rather than complaining, how can you be thankful for this situation? Or what can you be thankful for in this situation? And then she gives you some scriptures here. So as your preschooler is old enough to have these conversations, you're going to start talking about the heart. But sometimes they're not there yet, right? Mm-hmm. You've got a 1.5-year-old who has very little language, and your words with them, you're not going to have 3-sentence paragraph with them when you talk to them. You're going to have to be very short. And so same thing, you still want to get to the heart. So as you instruct them, no complaining, say thank you, Mommy. Okay, you're instructing them, you're discipling them of what it looks like to be grateful. Okay, no complaining, say thank you. You're still getting to the heart of what it is you're wanting to teach them. Oops. this is a book that I think you can, or a booklet that you can just keep referring back to. I think it's helpful for us sometimes as moms, even as I'm complaining about my kids, to just say, okay, hold on here, what's the problem? Today I just need to be thankful that I have these children to even begin to disciple. We want to teach our children what God says about obeying, okay? This is not just something you want. This is something God wants. And there's authority in there in the fact that God instructs our children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There's not very many scriptures that are specifically written, specifically naming to children. That doesn't mean the scripture's not written to children. It's written to all of us. But specifically pinpointing, pulling out, making this distinct point that children are called to obey their parents. This should be one of those verses that is on the tip of your tongues and it becomes on the tip of your child's tongue as you teach them to memorize this verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Again, you want to teach them to obey you because you're that authority that God has placed in their life to mirror His authority in their life. And so when you teach them to obey you, you're teaching them to obey God. And that when they disobey you, they're disobeying God. And so it's that simple tie-in that you're going to make again. Even if your words are very brief and short with a young preschooler, or even if they're a little more lengthy with an older preschooler, you're going to instruct them, Mommy said no. You need to obey Mommy like you obey God. Okay, so you want to tie that in for them to begin to understand that. Even before they really know who God is, you're teaching them who God is by those instructions. And again, if you've got an older child, tying it right back to why they were created, that God created you. I think if we don't go back to Genesis, we lose so much of the basis of why God says what He says. Okay, He says what He says because He is the one who created us. He was the one that had a plan for our lives. And if we don't live according to His plan, we're not going to be able to glorify Him and serve Him. We're not ultimately going to have any joy either. We want to teach first-time obedience in our children. In other words, teaching them that when we tell them to do something, they need to do it right away the first time. Okay, if I'm letting my child take 5, 6, 7 times before they ever do what I've asked them to do, I'm teaching them not to obey the first time. Okay, so we want to set up that expectation. Now, does that mean they're going to do it? No, and in a little bit we'll talk about how we rescue them from that disobedience, but we want to set up that expectation that it's the first time that we ask them to obey. Now, I think we need to help our kids here. Don't make it extremely difficult for them to obey the first time, especially when they're very little. You know, sometimes I think just getting their attention, getting them in a place where they're ready to listen to your instruction when you ask them to do something is a huge help to them as we then give them an instruction to do and expect them to obey. If my kid is running around the house, you know, like crazy, making the Wahoo Indian sound or whatever they're doing, and, you know, I'm the last thing on their mind, I'm in the other room, and I holler and say, you know, go upstairs or whatever it is we're telling them to do, you're probably not going to get what you want the first time, especially with a 2-year-old, okay? So get their attention. Get down on their level. Make sure that they're listening to you. Keep it simple, okay? You don't need to give them a litany of why they need to put their shoes on and get ready to go out the door. Just instruct them. It's time to go. Get your shoes, okay? Sometimes I think we teach our kids to tune us out because we think we have to tell them everything that's going on. Keep it very simple for your little ones, okay? As your child starts to challenge you, then you're going to bring them right back to, know, Mommy said, don't get pulled into a back and forth tug of war. Some kids are so manipulative, they know how to get you off track. Okay, they learn very early how to get Mom off track. They think if they say, "Oh, Mommy, your shirt's really pretty today," then you'll forget what you told them to say. Or if sometimes it's just that kid who, you know, keeps fidgeting and acts like they didn't even hear you, and you think, well, maybe they didn't hear me, you know. Don't get pulled into the manipulation, ladies, okay? Get your child in front of you. Speak to them. They've heard you, okay? Again, you're teaching them self-denial, so this is not going to be easy. When they say, but I want to... I know you want to, but you're going to say no to yourself and you're going to say yes to Mommy. Okay? Because that's what Scripture instructs us to do. That we're going to say no to our desires and we're going to say yes to what the Lord wants for us. So that's what you're teaching your children. You're teaching them self-denial. And you're teaching them to honor you. Okay? You've all seen that child who does what they want to do, but they are mad, and you're going to know they're mad, and they are not happy with you when they do it, okay? It's good they're still being obedient. Don't take that away from them, okay? But you want to teach them and train them to honor you, and that's going to be with their words, with their voice tone, with their body language. You know, it's funny. Some kids can find those little ways to just, you know, let you know that they're not going to honor you. Got an example? Yes.
Question.
Yeah.
So what do you do when you tell your child to do something, they do it, and then they go hit the cabinet, or, you know, so in response that I did it, but I, like, hate it. Do you spank him?
My kids never did that. No. That's a really good question. When we talk in a minute about the rescue, I'll come back to that, but let me just say this now because I think that's a good question. It's a training process. So while they went and did it and you said thank you for, you know, whatever it is, putting the thing on the counter, your body said, I don't want to do that. And so what would your body look like if you were honoring me, if you were showing that I will do this out of joy? You know, and so you practice that. You go back and maybe you do it again and you have them practice it. Okay? I think that still getting the obedience, you don't want to overlook that, because I think we can frustrate our kids sometimes expecting too much all at once every time, and we forget to rejoice in the small things. I think we do need to rejoice in the small things. And so even if they did it with a bad attitude, they did it, okay? And I think even remembering that, like, think about us. Like, if there's something I'm really struggling in my heart with the Lord, I may choose to be obedient, but I may not still be joyful about being obedient, okay? I may be doing it because I know this is what I need to do and I'm going to honor him, but sometimes it takes the practice of obedience to bring along the heart attitude of joy in that obedience. And so if we have that heart of a struggle, I think we need to be very patient with our kids. It doesn't mean we're not going to teach them and train them to be respectful. You know, and if they, you know, if they look at you and say something mean, you're going to instruct them and say, no, say, okay, mommy, okay, or, you know, no, you're going to, you know, you're not going to hit mommy as you go do it. You're going to say, okay, mommy, and you're going to leave your hands at your side, but don't take away the steps they are making, because think about it, that learning self-denial, it is so hard. Think about it in your own life, how hard it is to deny yourself something you really, really, really want, okay? There's still something in your life you really, really want that you know, whether it's a thing or whether it's in a situation or whether it's something you want from a person, and how it just inside makes you so mad that you can't have what you want, okay? So be patient with your kids, but teach them those words and those actions. Train them over and over again, and that's that next point, that it is an over and over process of training them, practicing it again and again. And I think that's where, you know, as they're old enough to have them, like, redo something they've just done, have them practice it again in a different way. That was good. I'm glad you put the cup on the counter, but now let's go back and do it again with a smile, you know, and come back and do it. And again, I think sometimes it's just the practice that brings our heart along, you know. There's something that softens our heart as we have to do something over and over, and I'm grateful that the Lord does soften our hearts that way as we're obedient to him. Teach them the benefits, and that's what I'm saying. I think sometimes we fail to help our little ones see the benefit. There's so much that we're disciplining them for. There's so much that we're trying to teach them that we forget to rejoice and to show them the benefits of doing the right thing, the benefits of being obedient. So rejoice in those little things. You know, make a big deal out of it. Be excited about it. You know, give them a high five, whatever it is, you know, that will reinforce that for them. You want them to see that, like, there is something good that comes out of obedience, because, again, as they get older, you want them to see that, like, obeying God is always best, even if it doesn't feel like it. Even if it's giving up something, there is a joy that comes from obeying the Lord that is priceless. And so we want them to see that benefit, even as a kid. And sometimes as a kid, I think it probably stinks because you've got all these things you're having to give up and not get to do and stuff. And so we want them to see that there is a benefit in it, okay? So your authority is going to be challenged, okay? And that's right where you're coming from, Roxy, when you ask that question. You know, what do you do? Because it's nice to know these things, but how do you move it forward? How do you get these things to happen? Again, there's not a formula, but Scripture does give us a rescue plan. And it's not an easy rescue plan. It's not an instant rescue plan, but it is God's plan, and it's what we have to use. If you look at that little diagram, when we are being disobedient and dishonoring to the Lord, we have to remember that we are in danger, okay? Think about, as an adult, if you decide you're going to disobey the Lord in terms of how you honor your marriage vows, think of the danger you are putting you, your marriage, your spouse, your relationship into, okay, as you break those marriage vows. That's just as serious as with our kids. When they choose to be disobedient and dishonoring to the Lord, they are in a dangerous place. And so that's the motivation for you to remember that, Lord, you have given me the job to rescue my kid from danger. If my kid ran out into the street, wouldn't I do anything to protect them and rescue them from the truck coming down the street? Well, it should be the same for their behavior. It should be the same for their sin, that I see they are in danger when they sin. It's not funny. It's not, they're just kids, that's what they're going to do. It's a dangerous place. And so we have to remember that that is why we have to rescue them. We have to do something about their disobedience. We can't leave them in that dangerous place. Again, the rescue is ultimately for them to come to know Christ and to bring their heart into submission to Christ. But as you teach them about that, you're teaching them what it looks like to be obedient. And so that place of safety for them is to bring them to a place where they are honoring you, where they are obeying you. And the benefits that come out of that is that life is going to go well for them. That's what God tells us in Ephesians, that as we honor and obey Him, things will go well for you. He's promising that to kids. And so there are benefits that come. And so we want them to see that as we rescue them and as they come into obedience to us, that that is a good and safe place to be and things will go well. And yet you see that there's kind of a circle going on there, those arrows. It's a constant thing, and you're going to feel some days like you're on a, you know, one of those, what do you call those, cage things, you know, I think of that with the animals, you know, that just go round and round and they go nowhere, you know, because that's what it's going to feel like. You feel like you're getting nowhere, but as you're teaching them that, you are getting somewhere. You just may not see the progress unless you step back a bit. And I think it's important that sometimes you step back and say, okay, was there anything different this month than last month? Okay, just step back and ask yourself that sometimes, because there is growth that happens. But when you're right here every day, it's very hard to see that progress that's happening. So Scripture has given us two rescue tools. Communication and the rod are the two rescue tools that they've given us. Communication is going to be invaluable for the rest of your life as a parent. Okay, but it's limited with a two-year-old how much communication you can use and how effective it's going to be. Communication is going to need to be based on biblical principles for it to be effective. I can use my words and yell at my kids. I can use my words to threaten my kids. I can use my words to demean my kids, but they're not going to be beneficial to bring them into a place of safety. Okay, they're not going to be honoring to the Lord. They're not going to reflect that example of being honoring and obedient to the Lord, to my child. And so our words need to be biblical. In Proverbs, we read that scripture about a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. If you've ever had someone have to tell you something very difficult, you know, maybe your husband's had to kind of confront you on something and has done it with very careful, loving words, think how much easier it is to take that. So ladies, our words to our kids are so, so important. And this is where sometimes you just need to step back and take a breath before you even say anything and think, Lord, help me to honor you as I instruct my child right now, especially when it's the 10th time you've done it that hour, okay? Because if your words aren't honoring to the Lord, you're not modeling what you're trying to teach your child. Get your child's attention and expect a positive response. I think that idea of it's very simple to just, when you give your child a direction, to have them say back to you, okay, mommy, to indicate that they heard you, they're with you, they're ready to go do it. It's kind of like taking that first step. Okay, I'm going to go do it, okay? Get them to look at you, okay? We've all got those kids who, you know, are doing everything else while we're talking to them, you know. Get down. Josie was talking this morning how she was trying to tell her sick child not to cry because it was making it worse. And she's like, I just took their hands in my, you know, her face in my hands and looked at her. And sometimes that's what we need to do with our kids, just gently, not in a rough way, but just in a gentle way, a loving way. Look at me, you know, and then you tell them, go get your shoes. Say, okay, mommy, okay? Now, that's very calm, and it sounds easy when we're just sitting here with a cup of coffee in our hand and someone else is dealing with our kids. But that's the kind of gentleness you want to have as you instruct your kids and the kind of love you want to have. And so I think as much of this search and rescue process is getting our own hearts in the right place as we instruct our kids, and that our communication would be like the Lord's communication with us, so gentle, but yet so specific. Give those simple, clear directions. Again, if you've got a two-year-old, you're talking in like 2- and 3-word sentences at the most, and you're probably talking in 1 sentence at the most or 2 sentences at the most, okay? You know, it's noun and verb. Johnny, go. You know, it's almost that simple. Again, don't muddy it with why they need to do this and everything else. Just give them the instruction. Be gentle and loving and patient and kind as you do that. Don't use excuses for your child. Now, there are obviously things that play into why our kids act the way they act sometimes. You know, when they're tired, when they're hungry, when they're sick, we're going to see an increase in the problems that we already see them. And so we need to remember those things, but it doesn't excuse. It doesn't give them a day off from obeying, you know. So, well, today you can just do whatever you want and dishonor the Lord and dishonor me because I know you don't feel good. But sometimes that's what we do when we make the excuses. Oh, he's just tired. Okay, you still want to have the same expectation. You may just have to offer a little more help, a little more patience, a little more support in getting them there. Okay, I listed these questions that help bring conviction for older preschoolers. You're not going to, you know, if Roxy or Amy looked at Silas or Oliver and said, you know, so what did you really want when, you know, I asked you to go do that? Like, you're not going to get an intelligible conversation. They're going to look at you like, huh? Cookie? What do you want? Cookie? Probably something like a cookie. But with your older preschoolers, you can have a dialogue about what it is that's keeping them from doing what you've asked them to do or from, you know, submitting to what you've been talking about by asking them these questions. And that's where, again, in this booklet, she gives a lot of heart-probing questions on each of these different topics that you can ask, just like the one we looked at in complaining. What are you not being grateful for? The rod is that other tool that Scripture gives us. And this is one of those things that, you know, when Scripture, there's numerous places in the Scripture where it talks about that there are a lot of mysteries. I feel like this is one of those real mysteries. I don't understand it, but Scripture tells us the rod and reproof give wisdom. Proverbs also says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will draw it far from him. As you see a young child, the very reality that we just said, you can't have this litany of conversation with them to get them what you want to do. You have to have something that's going to grab their attention and that's going to bring them to a place of obedience. And the rod is what God has given us to do that. Now, I think in this day and age, one of the saddest things that I think, well, there's many sad things, but one really sad thing, and I saw this happen in my generation, and I think maybe there's a little bit of turn in your generation, but that reality that we don't want anyone to experience any kind of difficulty or pain, you know? I mean, our world is all about that, you know, make everything just perfect. If that doesn't feel good to you, don't do it. If you don't like that, then buy whatever you want that is going to make you happy. We don't want anybody to be unhappy, okay? Well, that's not reality. And sometimes we see in Scripture how the Lord disciplines us, and that hard time of discipline is what brings our heart to a place of obedience with Him. And it's the same with our child. And the way to bring a child who is out of control and rebellious to a place of obedience is to get their attention. And sometimes that requires pain. Now, again, I think this has been greatly abused. I think generation after generation has abused spanking, has not done it in a biblical way. And so I think we often right away slam the door and say, well, my dad, you know, used to beat me. I'm not going to beat my child. No, you're not going to beat your child. That's not what Scripture is calling you to do, okay? Maybe you had a poor example of that, or you have other experiences in your life that just make you recoil at that. That's not what Scripture is calling to. Scripture is calling us here to use the rod to bring the attention to the the task at hand that we want them to obey, but it's done in a kind and gentle way. Now, kind and gentle sounds kind of opposite when you're inflicting pain, but sometimes if you have used a spanking and you've seen how it's brought that child to a place of rest where they stop and they listen to you and you get their attention, you can see how that mystery works. I don't understand it, but it's what God has given us. And so rather than question it and try to completely understand it, we need to obey it. And so I think it throws out a ton of questions. Well, when do I spank them? I'd be spanking them all the time if it was for every little thing. You're going to spank them for that blatant rebellion. Okay, remember, this is that rebel you're trying to break. Blatant rebellion would be that blatant disobedience. They know what they're supposed to do. They've been told. They know what that looks like. They know how to do it. They have the skills to do it, and they blatantly disobey you. Okay? So for a really little one, that blatant disobedience may be the simple, you know, where they keep knocking their food off the tray, and you've taught them that no, you know, put your hands down and put the food in your mouth, and they continue to do it, and they look at you like, are you looking at me? And they do it again. That's blatant disobedience. They know, you know, they know what they're doing. They may not even have words at that point, but you can see it in their eyes. They know exactly what to do, and they are choosing to do it their own way. Okay, they're choosing to rebel. That's what we spank for, that blatant disobedience. Blatant disrespect. Those two commands that God gives our children, to obey and to honor their parents, when those two things are blatantly defied, that is when they need the rod of reproof to bring them back into that place of safety. Okay? You're not going to spank, you know, a two-year-old for not getting all their toys put back in the right bin after they play. Okay? That's beyond his skill, beyond his understanding at that point. Okay? But a two-year-old who runs the opposite way when you say come, because it's funny and they're going to laugh while they do it and they're going to hide behind the chair when you've said come to mom, that's blatant disobedience. Why should you spank? Because they're in danger. You are rescuing them, okay? If my child was running in front of a truck and me physically pulling them, that might feel uncomfortable to them is what's going to save them. I'm going to do that, whether that hurts their arm or not, to get them out of that way of the truck, because the danger at hand is far worse than the little bit of short-term pain. And I think that's what you have to remember about a spanking. I hated spanking my kids. I mean, I think it'd be really sad if we enjoyed it. I mean, it would point to a problem in our own heart, okay? That is a hard thing. I mean, this is a child we love. It's a piece of us. You know, why would we want to inflict pain? We want to inflict pain. No, we don't want to inflict pain, but we want to rescue them from the danger they're in. When are they old enough to spank? As soon as they're old enough to understand and obey. Okay, again, your kid is far smarter than what their language is going to communicate to you. Okay, they understand things before they can communicate that back to you. And especially a child who's, you know, slower in speaking and stuff, they understand a whole lot more than you think they do. And if you don't believe me, watch them with somebody else, because if when somebody else says come, they come, and then when you say come, they don't, they have an understanding. They're just choosing not to obey you. And moms, if you haven't figured it out yet, they're going to make it harder on you than anybody else. That's just the reality. You're going to spend more time with them, so there's going to be more time to wear you down. They're going to spend more time with you. There's going to be more time for you to get tired of dealing with it. They're going to make it hardest on you. I just crack up when people say, you know, my kid is so good with so-and-so, but when I have, it's like, yeah, I remember those days. You know what? It's nice they're good with somebody else, but wish they'd be good with me. It's going to take more work because you're with them all the time, and you're going to see more of that. When are they too old to spank? You know, you're not going to manhandle a 15-year-old, okay? But think about the other tool we have, communication. That tool of communication is going to become more used, more valuable, more useful as a child gets older, and the rod is going to be less useful as they get older. So these are years where it's a short-term time where you're going to use this, but it's a tool, it's a rescue tool that God has given us. How do I spank? You know, I don't think there's a perfect way to do it, but again, you need to be under control before you spank. And if you're not, then you need to take a minute to get yourself under control. Consistency is super, super, super important, okay? The only time I would tell you not to be consistent is to take the minute first before you're consistent to get your own heart in the right place, okay? It's so important. Your kids know when you're out of control, and how can I ask them to get under control if I'm out of control, okay? So it needs to be done under control. It needs to be done in a very measured way. You need to know before you start, you know, this is a two-year-old. It's not going to take much to get their attention. Some kids, it may take a little harder of a spanking than another child. You know, some kids, you just even look at them and they're just melting. I'm sorry, mommy. And they right away go do what you've asked them to do, okay? And then you've got another kid who's like, that didn't hurt. You know, they look at you like, I don't care. And it may take a little bit more, but that's where you want to be measured in it, okay? Because I know there were times that I started out with a right heart, but the fury that can happen in my own heart as my child then didn't come into obedience, that you start to get angry and you think, well, then I'm going to spank again. Well, I'm going to spank harder. I think you need to be very careful that you go into it with an attitude of, okay, I'm going to give them a spanking and then we're going to stop and we're going to try it again, you know. And then we may have to go back again if they still, you know, haven't submitted to what I've asked them to do. But I think you need to be very measured, especially when they're very young. What if I'm too made? Okay, spell check did not catch that mistake. We'll just cross that E off of there. What if I'm too mad? Again, I would take a minute to do that. But consistency is so important, okay? Your kids are the biggest gamblers around. They will gamble that you're not going to say or you're not going to do what you just said you're going to do. They're going to gamble that you didn't spank me yesterday. I take a chance she's not going to spank me today. Okay? They are gamblers. So probably the three biggest things I would say about using the rod is have your own heart in the right place first. Okay? Have that soft heart before the Lord. It may be having a soft heart willing to just do what God's calling you to do, because for some of us it's just not even wanting to do what God's calling us to do, because it's hard, it's painful. Who wants to inflict a little bit of pain on your child? So having the right heart, being consistent, okay, super, super important. Yeah.
So this isn't about my preschoolers, it's about my school age kid. So when I go to spank, like last night she was blatantly disobeying, so I took her to the bathroom, and when she knows she's going to get the rod of righteousness, we call it, she like will fight to the death, and she's getting big to where she won't move her hands, and I'm like, put your hands on the counter, like my heart's in the right place because I got it there. But then the more she fights me, the more. So it goes nowhere. I'm stuck because she is like so.
Because then you feel like you're gonna get into just a physical battle.
Like if I'm like trying to like get her mm-hmm. to have her arms like this, it just feels wrong, mm-hmm. all sorts of wrong. Mm-hmm. But she still needs the discipline in the same sense. So right. I'm having a hard battle with her. Like,
right.
Move your hands, just take the reproof. Like this is what. We go through all the Bible stuff. She doesn't care at that point because she's going to get it.
Right, right.
So I'm just stuck,
you know,
with her.
I think you have to understand, I mean, none of us like fear. Like, if you've ever had to, like, give yourself a shot or do something where you're inflicting pain on yourself, like, that is just a horrible. I don't like to remove a Band-Aid. You know, I sit there and think, okay, what can I do, you know, so that this doesn't hurt? So, like, we're asking our child to take yeah. what they know is going to hurt. So, mm-hmm. first of all, I think we have to understand that. But part of that obedience is learning to say, okay, and I will take what is coming in an undefiant way, because right. she's essentially defying yeah. you with her body, yeah. you know, to not even allow you to do what God has instructed you to do. I think there needs to be another consequence. Like, there may be another spanking when you don't take the first spanking without, you know, that.
Yeah.
I think sometimes
trying to, well, that's what I've done, is like, the more you fight, the more you're going to get, because you're sinning on top of each other. Like, you're not just mm-hmm. taking the first for the first problem. Now you're doing another sin by defying me.
Right.
But when she's in that, she's not.
Having a few minutes to let them get themselves ready for that. Like, I had one kid who I had to just give him time Two, okay. Get what it was. Sorry, Adam.
It's okay. We all know now.
I sometimes had to just give him time to get himself under control and ready for that. And it was amazing to me that he could get himself under control, but he kind of just had, it was like he had to wrestle with his heart a little bit, you know. And I would say, you know, I'm going to give you a couple minutes and then I'm going to come in and we're going to have the spanking, you know. And it was amazing to me how he could get himself under control. Now, that didn't mean every time he did, but sometimes giving him that little space versus like, okay, he just realizes here he got caught. He didn't do what he was supposed to do or, you know, is just defied you. And then right away, like, here comes the next hard thing. I just realized this is coming and now it's here. Like, sometimes just a little, you know, and I'm not talking 20 minutes. I'm talking like 2 or 3 minutes, you know, a little bit, which may seem like forever for you. But I would use that time to pray then. Mm-hmm. I would pray for my child. I would sometimes pray with him that he would calm down and be willing to take the discipline that God had for him. And reminding him that, you know, bringing his heart under submission now is going to make it less painful. Yeah. There's going to be less consequence. And to just calm everything down a little bit. Because I know what happens when you get into that physical thing. Your blood pressure starts going, their blood pressure. They can be strong. Oh. Little kids can be super strong. And you start to feel like you're going to get hurt. They're going to get hurt. Yeah. And I don't think that in any way reflects what God wants to be reflected here. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that there's a perfect answer, but I think, you know, just maybe backing up for just a second and give, say, you know, you are still going to get a spanking, but you need to take time to get your heart ready to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm open to some other suggestions.
Because how old is she? Five?
She's five and a half.
I mean, I like your idea, because I remember doing it with my kids, is, okay, you need to go to your room, and I will be in there in a few minutes, and they need to calm. They might be crying, but, you know, you need to tell them you need to settle down, because I'm going to come in a few minutes, mm-hmm. and you're going to get a spanking. And I know sometimes, you know, if they're fighting and their hands are behind them, I would tell them, if you don't move, they're going to get hit. Like, you know, I'm not going to purposely do that, but if they're there, sometimes that's a consequence of if they just, that's what happens.
So
but
just
I like what she's, you know, they're
in.
What you're doing is you're getting in a power struggle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a power struggle.
That's not helpful.
And then you're worked, like Baba said, you're worked up, mm-hmm. she's worked up, and you're like in a fight, who's going to win this?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I think if you do separate for, you know, like, okay, mommy's going to come in, or Dean's mm-hmm. going to come in, and, you know, and sometimes when they were so worked up, I would try to, like, talk to them, but sometimes you cannot reason with them when they're so worked up.
Mm-hmm.
So you do administer the spanking, and then you talk after.
Mm-hmm.
And I think not trying to talk too much beforehand, like you were saying, like, you know,
words
and logic, but just being very, you're getting a spank because of this, and then, like, try to do it, like, 20 seconds,
right.
And then let them calm down.
It's like tunnel vision. You can't even hear it. You're saying, like, wah, wah, wah.
Kathy?
I was thinking, too, sometimes the method, like, how you spank, it makes it so, like, And this is good, like, when they're little, to begin how you're going to spank them.
Yes.
Rather than just having them standing and you're just go like this to them. But maybe think more about your method, that maybe you're going to sit down. Like, the bathroom, there's not a lot of room in a bathroom. Yeah. So you can't really, how you spank the method of the way you're going to do it. That they're probably just standing up, and so their hands are back there. Where if you have a method of where you're going to do it maybe in their room, and they have to bend down over your lap, maybe you're going to sit and they're going to bend over and you're going to spank them. I know I've talked to some people who they required, like, their kids had to put their hands on their bed and stand there, and then they would give them a spanking, you know, like, to deal with those hands that are going to, I mean, I think it's natural just for your hands to go back there.
Right.
So, like, if you bend them over your knee and you administer that spanking, you have more control over how you're going to do it, rather than sometimes I'm going to just spank them like this when they're standing up, and then sometimes I'm going to go do it like this. You know, there's, I think, more of a thinking about how I'm administering that spanking.
Right.
Can be helpful.
good point. And I think afterwards, that's a good time to come back to reminding them how short that pain can be when we then submit to the Lord, that, you know, I can continue to be rebellious in my heart and life is just going to get more and more difficult and things are going to get more and more complicated, okay? If as an adult, if I choose to go after my desires in some sinful way, it is going to complicate my life, you know? Mm-hmm. You've seen people in the tangled web of their sin and you're like, oh my gosh, like how can this even get straightened out? Well, thankfully the Lord does straighten it out. Mm-hmm. But for our kid, I think helping them see that then after they have that spanking, it's already over. You know, sometimes like kids like to, they build this thing up in their mind and it's like a spanking lasts for such a short time and yes, it hurts, but help them to realize like we're done now. It's done. It doesn't even still hurt anymore. And when they drag it out and then they have two or three spankings because they weren't even willing to take the one spanking they were going to get, they're just dragging out. They're adding more pain to themselves is what they're choosing. And so helping them see that afterwards, you know, when they do take it, that, you know, it is a short-term pain.
Yeah.
And again, in your mind, they're not going to understand this, but you're thinking like, I am rescuing you from much bigger pains later if you learn to be obedient now, you know. Mm-hmm. The child who never learns to be obedient to mom and dad is not going to be obedient to any other authority in their life, their teachers, the police, you know.
Boss.
Governing their boss, exactly. So, again, it's that... Armin doesn't remember this because I've said it to him several times, but... Pastor Armin, when he was head pastor when my kids were young, he said to me once with my son, he said, you know, he's either going to be a really strong leader one day or he's going to end up in prison, so you might as well decide right now. He says he never said that, but he did. I remember him saying that. I always kept thinking, like, okay, I just got to keep working on this. I don't want him to end up in prison. Again, now the reality is, I say that in a joking way, but the reality is our kids are still going to make decisions in their life that we have no control over, okay? So there is no guarantee that because I discipline and teach my child while he's young that he's not going to end up in prison. But this is, it's not one of those specific promises, but scripture tells us that there is a more likelihood that as a child learns obedience when they're young, that they're going to live in that pattern and that they're going to have a soft heart to come to know the Lord.
You know, I read something recently that said that the greatest measure of how successful in either a job or life, measured by those standards, they'll be at age 33, is how much self-control they have at age 11. That's mm-hmm. more than their IQ, more than their social ability.
Isn't that amazing? And I don't think our world, I don't think the culture teaches that. I think we, you know, there's just such a pandering to make everybody happy and to live however you want to live that we're setting ourselves up for a horrible workforce even. That's powerful. Yeah. Okay, other questions about spanking? Because it's just a... I think what's hard about it is, again, there's not this perfect little, you know, plug in A and B is going to happen. You know, that's what's so hard. And you may have one child, you're like, well, my first child, like, I'd barely give them a little swat and they were just ready to do what needed to be done. And then you have your second child and it's different and we're like, what happened, you know? And so I think we do need to always go back and look at ourselves and ask ourselves, you know, is my heart right? Am I being clear? Am I being consistent? I always saw that if I got inconsistent, my kids' behavior got crazy inconsistent, you know, and that's where sometimes I had to say, okay, we're going to back up, and I would even sometimes say it to my kids, I know yesterday I let you get by with this, this, and this, that was my wrong to let you get by with that. Today we're going to start out, and that is not going to happen. You know, when mom says this, there will be a consequence. And, you know, even asking their forgiveness for that when they're old enough that, you know, you can have those kind of conversations to let them see that, like, you were not helping them to let them get by with something yesterday. Now, the reality is there are going to be times when you just cannot do whatever that consequence needs to be, that you cannot give them a spank and, you know, you're in the middle of wherever. You know, I think there's things we can do to try to still follow up on whatever consequence we're going to give, you know, to leave where we're at and to find a private place that we can spank them and stuff. Again, I think it should be private. I think spanking is a very humiliating thing. It should never be, you know, I don't think any of our sin we want exposed to other people. So why would we want to do that with our kids? So I think it does need to be private. Now, if you've got six kids, you know, finding some privacy may be hard, but I think there's still ways to just keep it more private than, you know, right out in the middle of disturbing everybody and upsetting everyone else too. But there are going to be times, you know, there's just an impossibility to maybe give a spanking. Don't feel like you've just made everything go backwards now because you missed that one time, okay? Like, it's going to happen. It's not this perfect little thing, but the consistency is so, so important.
Well, Beth, can you walk through kind of what it looks like for, say, like a 1.5-year-old that, it, you know, maybe they're throwing their food on the floor or something? So just kind of walk through the process of spanking that child from beginning to end, and then maybe like an older preschooler, you know, they're 4 or 5 and they refuse to pick up toys or something. Like, can you kind of pinpoint the differences between what those might look like?
Yes, but I'm going to put it on somebody else. Kathy, oh, can I ask you, and here's why I'm asking you, because here's why I'm going to throw that question, because even though you feel like you're never going to forget these days, you really do. I feel so far removed from being around that constant. Right, but she's got a grandchild now. So she's seeing it again in that same light of, okay, this is what it looks like with a 2-year-old. And for me, like, I mean, I can tell you what that is, but I remember you just recently giving an example of something that you were struggling with and just how short your words had to be with a 2-year-old.
Well, yeah, when you talk about a 1.5 or a 2-year-old, and you mentioned it too, Babette, about don't get into like explaining with a lot of words what they need to do. Okay, let's take the example of throwing their food off the tray. They all do that, right? They might do that. You know, just throw it off, and then you don't want them throwing their food off the tray. And you're not going to start with a spanking. And now any of you pitch in if you, because I'm just doing this off the top of my head. But you're not going to start with a spanking, because you need to instruct with your words what you require of them. You want them to obey your authority. So I would start with simple words, though. No. Don't do that, or don't throw your food, or just a few words. You don't get into this explanation of, you're not supposed to be throwing your food, look what you did, you know, look what a mess it is. It has to be very simple. No, stop, bad, you know, things like that. And then I think I would start with, if they continue to do it, then I would move to no, you know, like that, just affirm no. No, throw food. Simple things like that. If they continue to throw the food, which some do, then I would move then to taking them out of the high chair, taking them in maybe another room. No, throw food, and give a spanking, something like, you know. And speak, you begin the one swat, and you progress from there, you know. Then you take them back to the high chair, and does that make sense? Does anybody have anything? So you start, you know, like how the Lord deals with us. We have a lot of warnings when we're sinning, you know. We know he's very tender with us and very patient and gives us grace, and it doesn't pounce on us right when we sin, you know, but he's very loving and kind, and he starts slow with us. But as we continue in our sin, he gets rougher and rougher. You know, I don't know if rougher is the right word, but
more serious.
Once they're a 2-year-old already knows they're not supposed to throw the food off the table,
or they're out of training.
They're not supposed to, like, push the chair around or whatever they do. Do you still like give warnings, or like you just move on to?
Once they know, then, and I know this sounds bad, but it won't last if you're consistent. you have to give them the consequence. You have to spank.
So yeah, if they've already developed to that point where they understand the expectation, you're not going to back up and give them a bunch of chances because they already know. So at that point, you're just dealing with that blatant disobedience, and you're just going to discipline for that.
And it's hard, and you feel you are going to have days that you feel like all you're doing all day is disciplining and spanking them.
Yeah.
You're going to go to bed, and it's like, I spanked them 10 times. And we're not talking about beating or anything. We're just,
right.
We're talking about under control and seeing, like, it's so important what Bobette said, about seeing they're in danger.
Mm-hmm.
If I just let these things go, I'm going to end up with a 10-year-old that is a punk, just plainly, you know, and we see a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But so you've got to have this in your heart, you know. God doesn't let us, you know, he lets us go, but eventually, if we're one of his children, he's going to discipline us, and sometimes it can be very severe.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to see where they're headed. That's what I like so much about the book, Withhold Not Correction.
It's out there on the table. I did put a handful of books out there.
It's all on disciplining. And what he builds in there is like a vision. Like, man, when I remember reading that, and I was like, I had fear in my heart. Like, I've got to be consistent, even if I'm exhausted, you know, doing this. But you are going to have days that you're not going to do it all the time. You're not going to do it perfectly. And we can rest because we're not the only ones working in our child's
right.
life. We have to remember the Lord, he knows we're not going to do it perfectly. So we can rest and know God's going to deal with things in my child's life in his way too. So
I think when you're in that kind of hazy time where you are training them to do or not do something, where, like, you know, they kind of know, but sometimes it's hard to tell, like, do they really know this yet? And so sometimes you err on the side of giving them grace, and sometimes you're on the side of, you know, bringing the boom down. But I think that's that time where we rely on the Lord's grace, that, you know, if we don't sap them every single time, then it's going to be okay, that, you know, we are trying to be consistent, but we're giving them a little grace until we see that they're understanding what they should or should not do, and are physically capable of doing that thing. And but there is that little bit of time where it's a little hazy. Is this a spankable offense, or do I need to just give them more time to develop the motor skills, or you know, whatever? But you know, can rely on the Lord's grace then to know that, you know, even if we don't catch when they are being little sinners, that they'll be okay.
So, right.
Yes, because you don't want to get all caught up in this, like, this is like your such a burden to, like, you want enjoy your being a mom, enjoy your children, you know, don't make it all about they've got to be perfect or
something. Right.
they're not going to be
that's right.
You're not going to be perfect, you're not going to do it, you're going to mess up, you're going to, but you have these years from, you know, like this from the preschool to the teen years, as you're developing this disciple. It's not going to all happen at 2 or 3 years old, you know. It's a process, and it's a slow process.
And you may even feel like you've reached a point of obedience in an area, and then suddenly, like, it falls off the wagon again, and you're like, what happened? And, you know, it's just like us. It's like, why do sins that we feel like we've grown in, do we suddenly come back to it at some point? Who knows? You know, sometimes it's just, you know, I think with my kids, you'd see it like, oh, they must be getting sick. Like, you just start to see that, like, something's not right here. But that's where, then again, you get consistent again in that area, and you'll see it move on quicker then, you know. They won't totally forget what they've learned, you know, but you may have to revisit something that you were disciplining for that you haven't had to discipline for a while. Martha, you had your hand up.
3 things came to my mind. One thing is that we do fail, and when we do, we need to ask forgiveness from even our children. You know, and I have to do it now with my adult children. And then also that I really think this heroin problem is an example of our culture of lack of discipline. These people, why are upper class, well, I don't want to say class, but why are these people killing themselves when they don't, you know, it makes no sense. And I think it's because there's a lot of kids that were never disciplined properly. They don't know how to say no and have self-control. So I just think that's how critical it is for discipline. Because it makes no sense. Why are we having all these people doing things to themselves that they know?
We certainly know sin grows and complicates, that's for sure.
And I kind of think that's part of our culture of the lack, there's so much lack of discipline.
And it does feel impossible sometimes when you have, you know, the baby is crying and the four-year-old is coloring on the wall and the two-year-old needs to be spanked. And it just, it feels so intense in that moment. Mm-hmm. But if you're faithful, like in Hebrews, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And, mm-hmm. and when you start to see it happen, it's so encouraging. Mm-hmm. But you do have to stick with it. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's a week of, okay, he's going to get spanked about four times a day for running away when I say to come. Mm-hmm. But if you're consistent, you know, maybe it's a week, maybe it's 2 weeks. Maybe it's a month. Like, I wish Mimi was here, because I know she had some strong battles with Gloria, and she would have some tales to tell. So ask her when you get a chance.
Because I remember saying to her one time at our house, it's like, I feel like I'm hitting my kids all the time. Yeah. And she's like, Teresa, ask me how many times in one night I would discipline Gloria.
Yeah.
Ask me how many times. And I said, how many times? And she said, if I'm telling you it wasn't 10 times a night to get her into bed, I would have to consistently. Yeah. She had such a rebellious heart, and she has a lot of spirit and personality, and she still does at 7 years old.
Yeah.
And she, and the Lord, she, and Mimi would say it, like, the Lord's going to use her personality for good, but I have, my job is to rear her into, and I was like, you did? Yeah, I'm thinking, like, three times a day was bad, but, you know, and then they're still not getting it. And then, but then I always think about what Mary said, you said it in the past, is it, does it sting? Because if we just do a little, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you for bringing that up.
It sounds almost brutal, but every time I've kind of just limped in with any kind of discipline, I'm not getting to their heart. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's not going to help them down the line with further sin, because the Lord has to get, has gotten to my heart by proverbially, like, you know, disciplining me. So I always think about, does it sting? It, you got to make it sting. One good sting is better than... Yeah. Five little.
And I think knowing your kid too, because when they're a baby, some, if they're doing the food throwing thing, sometimes even just squeezing the hand and saying food stays on the tray, if that's enough to get through to your child, then it's enough. But you know, by the time they're four or five, it
one
really
child,
needs to sting usually.
One child, I just look at that one child and she is, I mean, you can see their attention. It's not just a manipulation. You know, you can see it, and we know our children. Mm-hmm. And then there's others that I've had to physically hold down to get to the, and I do warn them. The Lord says to discipline on the buttocks. If I don't want your hands to get in the way, he does not want me to hit your hands, but if your hands are in the way,
that's
a consequence. It's a
consequence.
Yeah. And that's not intentional. So, and they know to move their hands away. So. All right.
And you mentioned dad, or somebody said something about dad.
Yeah.
I mean, dads aren't here, but I think this is a conversation, you know, you and your husband need to be on the same page about this. And I think sharing some of these thoughts and discussion from today are really important and helpful to dads. I think it's really important that you ask them to step in when they are home, because the kids need to see that this is not just a mom thing, that dad is going to have that same expectation. And we all know dad's the hero when he walks in the door, and you know, everybody is all excited to see dad and, you know, runs to him, and then he's, you know, there his buddy for the rest of the night. That's okay. But he does need to still take that role as a disciplinarian, and he's going to have less opportunity. So it's almost like when he comes home, if he can have, you know, not that the minute he walks in the door, we used to laugh some of the time, the minute you walk in the door, they're yours, you know, don't do that. But, you know, give him a minute to get settled. But I think have that conversation with your husband that I need you to reinforce me at night. First of all, it gives you that break to be able to stop and watch someone else do it. It also communicates to your kids, we are on the same page here. We are a team, and the expectations that mom has is the expectations that dad has as well. And I don't know, but most dads just get a little harder of a sting, and sometimes that's a little helpful too, because they're just sometimes not quite as soft as we are. It just depends. Not all dads, but Roxy?
I have another question. I feel like I'm confused in this situation. It happens a lot of times that I'm at other people's houses. And I'm usually at other people's houses who you know, are on board with disciplining. But still, like, I find it hard taking my 2-year-old into another room but I don't want him to get away with things. And because I feel like I'm sending the message, well, if we're at other people's houses, you get away with it. And I feel like it's just going to escalate, you know?
I've had plenty of friends use our guest room to discipline their kids. Yeah. So, I think if it's someone you know that won't be...
You just say, excuse me, we need to go deal with this. Yeah, and you go and you come back. And,
but if it's at someone where you think, ooh, maybe I should not spank here, I have pulled him into another room and had a conversation with him that's like where I've separated him from everyone else.
Yeah, and they have to be old enough to like have a conversation. Yes. But yeah.
James, maybe not so much. Right. Paul is a little bit better
right.
to understand. And so I can pull him out of a space and say, that is not acceptable. You know better. This is not how we behave. And he... sometimes begrudgingly, but he almost needs to be separated out so that you can give him a break. You can break whatever cycle is going on. And
I see what you're doing, and this is not going to be okay.
And once he steps back, he can go back in and be like, and sometimes that takes multiple, but you just have to sort of.
I also think that any parent, whether they spank or not, if you're at their house and you just say, I need a private space to deal with this. They're not going to peek in the room and be like, hey, I wonder if you're dealing with this problem. If you go into another room and close the door, no parent's going to ask, hey, I solved that problem with your kid. They're going to understand that you need privacy no matter what your discipline levels are.
That's true.
Yeah.
Or maybe your kid will, tell everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Because I forgot the Rod of Righteousness. We did nickname it the Rod of Righteousness for the kids. But they were disobeying, and I go, Corinne, let's go to the bathroom. In front of everyone, you can't spank me. You forgot the Rod of Righteousness.
And I was like, no, figure it out. I think we may be having two spankings now.
I'll figure it out. Let's go.
But see, she's a gambler. Yeah. She's gambling that mom's doesn't have what she needs. Yep.
That's what I'm talking about. Definitely. Oh yeah. Send a message that you get away because you're here or there.
I found an item.
Yeah.
I know that you
are. And
so you have to remember, it's consistency.
Yeah.
And remembering you want to bring them. I like how Kathy said you want to enjoy your children. You do. As a mom, you want to enjoy them, but you do enjoy them when they obey. And so you do want to bring them to the point of understanding that they need to obey the first time. And the other thing that I'm sure some of these girls at my table, I say it a lot, that when you discipline, and it's brought up, I don't know if one of these guys said it, that you when you discipline, you're disciplining today for tomorrow. It's long term. You have to think, when you're dealing with your little one and your 2-year-old and your 4-year-old and they're all making you, you have to come back to, I have to be consistent because this is for them and for their good. Mm-hmm. And so even in a hard situation, when it's very easy to let it go, and she's manipulating you, that's when you need to let her know, we're going to be consistent even if we're not at home. It might look a little different, but the disobedience is not going to
And it, I can testify, it works. It absolutely works. And sometimes it takes longer than for one kid than for another. Mm-hmm. So, it's not a formula where do this, and then by age 5, the X. But, my older two are 9 and 7, and I cannot remember the last time I spanked either of them.
Right.
And, they get disciplined in other ways now, but, that outright disobedience just does not happen all that often. Mm-hmm. And, so to see the fruit of the obedience to the word is,
and the consistency that you were following.
Yeah, and God's grace when I Baba was saying, you have those times where you kind of ease up and all of a sudden you notice, why are they being so horrible? And you're like, I'm not disciplining, I'm not correcting when I need to, and then you kind of rein it in again. And, but the Lord honors his word and hang in there. It's so hard at the time. But once you, with the older ones now, I see all the fruit, so I'm like, you younger people.
Kristen, what are you going to say?
A question I've got, and this may be a larger topic for another time, but I've got a 3-year-old who sometimes, when you say, go do this, it's, maybe we can, and then there's a lot of other talking, and sometimes it's discipline, sometimes it's good suggestions, and sometimes I think we can listen to those, and sometimes we shouldn't, and sometimes then that kind of gets into some back talking, I guess, and so I don't know if you had any advice on where you should correct in that, because, you know, there's a constant stream of conversation, and so it's going to be, well, maybe, and I see that the not obeying right away, mm-hmm. I'm coming up in that, or I'm not going to do it right now, I'm going to just maybe talk you out of it,
mm-hmm.
and I don't really know what to do.
Or distract you enough, but yeah. Yeah, and I think that's where you kind of have to know your kid and what the heart issue is. If it is kind of a manipulative tactic or a stalling tactic, then I think coming right back to, no, just say okay and go do it. Like, don't entertain, don't let the conversation even start. If you know they're being manipulative or they're being, you know, trying to get you distracted or trying to, you know, buy time before they have to do something. And I think you see a pattern. You'll know if that's the case. Then just bring it right back to, what did mom say? Then go do it, okay? I think as kids get a little older, and three-year-old would, you know, might be old enough, it would depend on their language skills and communication skills. I think there are times when our kids may have some good input or information that would be helpful in the situation, that we should be willing to listen to those things, but it would not be done in a manipulative way. So, for example, you know, if I tell my kid it's time to go up and brush their teeth, and I didn't realize that dad... breaking the song. But let's say dad had just told them something different, okay? And so they start to interrupt you, and you say, no, just go do what I said. You know, you put your child in a difficult situation there, because... do I obey dad? Do I obey mom? Like, mom doesn't know this, you know. So I think teaching them something, some tactic of appropriately asking you a question, you know, it may be as simple as, mom, can I ask one question? You know, dad said for me to whatever. And it's like making an appeal. It's asking you to reconsider what you've just said, because there's information you may not know. Now, a two-year-old is not going to be able to do that, because they're just going to manipulate it, you know, can I have a cookie? And say, you know, like, that's not going to be, it's not what you would really want in terms of an appeal, okay? But to ask an appeal would be to ask you to reconsider, because there's an information that you don't know that could have bearing on the situation. But again, not if they're being manipulative, to just, it's not to get out of doing something, it's not to get out of obeying, it's to let you know that there's something else going on that they'd like you to consider, and then you can decide, you know, I think you're right, you can finish that and then go do this, you know, or whatever.
But I think asking, making that
a question,
appeal,
yeah, can I ask you a question,
sometimes the answer is, I want you to obey first, and then we can talk about it, mm-hmm. sometimes it's, can I finish looking at my book, or mm-hmm. you know, if it's a simple thing that, you know, you can say, yeah, okay, and then I feel like that builds the communication, where they feel like they can, you know, respectfully appeal to, you know, do something else, but then still be content if you say, no, I would still like you to do this first, and then you can come back and look at your book. But
if they're too little to do that,
three's kind of, I don't know, it depends on
three, borderline, then they're most likely manipulating,
right?
Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't hesitate to, you know, Proverbs says, don't answer a fool according to his folly, mm-hmm. but give the fool the answer he deserves. So in other words, you're not going to give in to the manipulation, because they have to learn, you know, they're not going to manipulate you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing we want our kids to understand is that when mommy says something, she means it. And it's not easy to get mom to change her mind when she wants me to obey, you know. You want them to learn that, and that mommy's not easily manipulated. You know, and so when they try to start talking, they do all kinds of things to manipulate. I wouldn't hesitate to, don't give in to it. Let him know, you know, you are not going to manipulate mommy. You have to go get your pajamas on, you know, or bring him back to what you wanted him to do. You know, whatever you were requiring him to do. When he tries to get you to get him, let him do something, or get something, you know, sometimes they go off and do all different kind of things that have nothing to do with what you want him to do. They're manipulating. Then you make it clear, no, you're not going to do that. You're going to do that. Give him the answer that he deserves, which is what you wanted him to originally do. Does that make sense? Do you understand? You know what I'm talking about? So, then he knows, huh, I can't, this isn't working. You know, this isn't working for me to try to get mommy to let me do something else. And so they're master manipulators. Mm-hmm. They're masters at it.
Yeah.
And then as they get older, yeah, then you're going to let them, you're going to hear them out. You know, like, and if they have a different thing they want to do. And sometimes you're going to, like Josie said, you're going to let them do it. But sometimes you're going to say, no, no, I don't think you're going to do that right now. You're going to do what I asked you to do. So.
Mm-hmm. My 2.5-year-old is very verbal. You can ask Mandy. He never stops talking. And he is a master negotiator. I'll say in 1 minute we're going to go, how about in 5 minutes? I'm like, dude. Luckily, he can't tell time. So sometimes I'm like, okay, in 5 minutes. And then in 1 minute, I'm like, yeah, 5 minutes are up. But like if he's watching TV and I say, we have to go do something, when this episode is over, and sometimes just telling him, I say, I understand that you want to do that, but I gave you a direction. And just kind of, even at 2.5, acknowledging, I know that that's what you want, mm-hmm. but that's not what's going to happen right now. And just, I think sometimes when he knows that at least I've heard him,
uh-huh.
then he is more willing to obey the first time I ask. Mm-hmm. Just that little bit of, I know that's what you want, but too bad.
Right. So too bad. You're giving him the answer he deserves, right. which mm-hmm. is, what mommy required you to do, this is what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you train them at 2 or 3, that I hear what you're saying, but we're going to do this other thing and then follow through, then they tend to not argue as much as they get older. But I mean, even at 2 and 3, mm-hmm. that yields fruit later. So.
And I think sometimes we can fall prey into when they're really little and they start to do these things, it's almost like, wow, my kid's really smart that yeah. they would even think, you know, like you'd almost feel a little pride in their manipulation or whatever, because, but it's like you have to think long term. You have to think, is this still good? It may be cute when the 2-year-old says that, but is it going to be cute when my 5-year-old says that, or when my 9-year-old says that, you know, and is trying to manipulate me? No, it's not going to be cute any longer. So you've got to start now breaking that cycle.
And it's in our community. You have an 8-year-old right. that you're debating them constantly.
Right.
It's like, no, we're not going, you know, they have to know, I can't debate mom all on everything.
Right. Right.
And when they say something really hilarious and sassy at 2 or 3, like you have to hide your face.
Yes.
It is really funny. Like you can recognize that it's hilarious that that's a little phrase that they use. But I mean, it's not a simple part, so in a way it's not hilarious.
Right.
But it's so easy to let them get by with that stuff at that age that if you don't deal with it then later on, it's
not cute.
You see it. You see it. Yeah. Like, it's not cute or funny when they're 8 or 9 and they say something like that, you know.
And the older ones are laughing too when they do it, and you're like,
Yeah.
That's away.
Look away.
Out of the room.
That's when you shoot the look at
Claudia knows she has an audience now.
Yes.
Does she think she's like, dropping the mic?
That's funny. Ladies, we're almost out of time. It kind of happened naturally. I just thought it was almost one of those, because we're a little smaller today and because I think the questions are the similar questions from table to table, it's just easier to kind of do an open discussion versus like specific discussions. But are there any other questions? Let me just pray for us, and then you've got a few minutes. You can, if you want to discuss some more at your table, certainly do that. We've got some discussion questions there you can work through, or just even have a little time to fellowship, because we have to get our kids in like 10 minutes, right? So let me pray for us. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, Lord, I thank you that you have shown us by your example how to deal with a disobedient heart. Lord, help us not to forget our own rebellion. Help us not to forget the dramatic way in which you rescued us, Lord. And Lord, while your plan of salvation is a mystery to me as well, I don't understand why that's what you chose, but it is what you chose. Help us to remember that in the rescue plan you've given us for our kids, it may not always make sense to us, but that we can trust that your way is good and right and that it will bring fruit. Lord, I pray for our hearts that we would be diligent, that we'd be consistent in disciplining our kids, that we would teach them now while they're young, Lord, while their hearts are still moldable and teachable. But Lord, I pray that we would do it in a way that we trust you for the results. It's such a prideful thing, Lord, to think that we're going to bring our kids to a point of obedience and that we're going to bring them to a place of even knowing and following you, Lord. We can't do that. Only you can do that. So Lord, do the work that you can do in our kids. Help us to trust you for those results. And Lord, I pray for our husbands, that they would be willing to have these hard conversations with us, and that we would be able to be at a place of unity and to function as a team, Lord, to represent the unity of your Trinity, Lord, that your Trinity is all about glorifying the Father, and that we would work in the same way as a husband and wife to teach our kids, Lord. Lord, help us to be patient with our kids, to show them love, and that in all of this, Lord, you would be glorified. It's in your name we pray. Amen.